أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله السلام عليكم peace be with you the Quran or the Bible which is God's word this is the topic for this afternoon's debate symposium colloquium discussion as you prefer to describe the speakers this afternoon present with an interesting contrast in qualities and personality to my right is Dr. Anis Sharaf. He has often been referred to as a Christian Arab. Dr. Sharosh is an eminent theologian, highly qualified, as is indicated by the doctor which precedes his name. He is also highly qualified in the practical sense of the word as an evangelist. He is, in fact, the head of an evangelistic association. However, to ensure a fair focus on the credentials of each of the speakers, we have agreed that a Dr. Basil Jackson will introduce Dr. Anis Sharosh in due course. Mr. Ahmed Dida has been referred to as a Muslim scholar of the Christian Bible. He has indicated to me that he does not want a lengthy introduction. But I am nevertheless going to take the liberty as the chairman this afternoon to say a few words on him. There again, in order to try and balance the focus that would be placed on each of the speakers. Mr. Ahmed Dida hails from a humble formal education background. He lays claim only to a standard 6 educational qualification in South Africa. In English terms, this would imply simply a few years of education at the lower secondary level. However, ladies and gentlemen, this has not dampened his zest and zeal and enthusiasm to champion the Islamic cause. He has always been concerned with big things in life. If one looks at him, he is a man of big bulk of stature. He's concerned himself in the initial stages of his life as a salesman. He has sold furniture. He has driven trucks. And in recent days, he has engaged in debates with highly qualified theologians and professors of theology. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that amongst your number are some rather eminent people who have traveled from distant lands in order to hear the discussion which will be presented by the speakers. You will be the jurors. My name is Muhammad Salim Khan. I'm a lawyer from South Africa, and it is my pleasant task to be a chairman this afternoon. As chairman, I occupy a neutral position. It is my task to ensure the fair and proper conduct of this meeting. It is therefore necessary and essential that we all proceed with the due decorum, that we all contribute to the success of this symposium. The procedure, briefly, will be the following. A coin will be tossed in due course in order to decide as to which of the speakers will actually commence with their presentation. The first speaker will speak for a duration of 75 minutes, after which the other speaker, his opponent, will be entitled to a rebuttal of 15 minutes. Thereafter, the other speaker will make his presentation for a period of 75 minutes, followed by his opponent's rebuttal for a period of 15 minutes. You, the honored members of the audience, will be accorded an opportunity of directing questions at the speaker. The procedure which we intend to apply will be the following. You are to write your questions on pieces of paper, as legibly as possible, please, and to hand them to stewards, who will actually be walking along the aisle, down the steps to my right and to my left. You will be able to identify them by the red badges which they will be wearing. These questions must indicate the name of the speaker who you wish to address answers to those questions. And I will in due course read these questions out to the speakers who will then present answers to them. Ladies and gentlemen, to proceed to the meat of the matter, as it were, I am now going to request the speakers to come to the table in order to enable us to toss the coin and to decide as to who it is who will actually commence with the discussion. Dr. Anis Sharosh, Mr. Ahmed Didas, will you please come to the table? I will, of course, address you in due course as to the outcome of this.
Identification of the claimants or the disputants is imperative. a basic requirement that the witnesses identify themselves. Whether it is a trial, civil, criminal, or civil, the witnesses must identify themselves. And in that, the first witness according to the subject advertised is the Quran. The subject is the Quran or the Bible, which is God's word, the Quran. Let us see what the Quran says about itself. You want to know the name. The name of the book. What is the name? Who is the author? Let the Quran speak for itself. In Surah Rahman, that is chapter 55, verse ayah number 1 and 2, Allah says, Ar-Rahman wa'allam al-Quran. It is Ar-Rahman, the merciful God, it is He who has taught the Quran. The name of the book, Quran, and the source of revelation, God Almighty. The Quran speaks for itself. Some of you, my brother, and I can see that you are smoking, please. This is a very serious topic. It is against the rules of this arena for people to smoke. Please put down your cigarettes. Surah Rahman. To help you, my brothers and sisters, to find this reference in the Quran is difficult for the non-Arab, most especially for us, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis. For us, it's difficult to find references such as Rahman. Where do you find Rahman in the Quran? This is an encyclopedia of 2,000 pages. This particular one I have in my hand. With 114 chapters, surahs. Where do you find Rahman? If you have a translation like this, this is the Abdullah Yusuf Ali. It's available in the far outside. A translation like this. You open the index at the back, and R, just like in a dictionary, look for Rahman, and it tells you 55. And 55 is easy to find. Once you have found 55, ayah number 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2, easy to find. This book is so cheap, it's a very easy word. I think it's so cheap. 2,000 pages, an encyclopedia, 2,000 pages, with Arabic text, English translation, and commentary. 2,000 pages for £5. You people will appreciate this value I'm talking about when I had to buy the Holy Bible from the Greek bookseller here at Hudson. This Holy Bible cost me £9.95. Just back. You get two. You get two for the price of one. Two. And they are available. I'm not sure to do business, but by the way, they are available. You wait for yourself. There's no better wedding present you can give. Christmas present you can give. Birthday present you can give to your employer or to your employee than the Quran. As well as you need it for yourself. And again, the Quran speaks about itself. In Surah Jashia, look for it in the J. Jashia, ayah number 1 and 2, it says, تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. That the revelation of the book is from Allah, the exalted in mind, full of wisdom. Chapter 45, ayah number 1 and 2. The Quran identifies itself that I am the Quran and the author is God Almighty. Coming to the Bible, the Holy Bible, no doubt in the face of it we have the word Holy Bible. Who put the word Holy Bible? The printer. Beautiful calligraphy, beautiful calligraphy. In this vast volume, described by Dr. Shorokin at the previous meeting, as a library of 66 books, he forgot that the Roman Catholics have 73 books. But between the 73 of the Roman Catholics and 66 Bible. It's an amazing situation. The word that has a name, it's anonymous. In the vast encyclopedia, the word Bible is not in the Bible. This is a type of the word. Concordant word means they got this word Bible in the Greek word Biblos. Biblos is a book. So if now they got the word Bible, Bible is a book. It is not a name. But so today we use it as a proper name, the Holy Bible, but the Bible is not in the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say that I am the book of God. We will prove to the contrary. But let us find, let us see what the Christians themselves they say about the Holy Book. I have here the book. Is the Bible the Word of God? Which question mark? This question is asked by Dr. Graham Spivey. And it is published by the Moody Bible Institute. They are not the Moody people in America, but the current name of the printers are Moody Bible Institute. They printed this book. The idea is to prove that the Bible is the Word of God. And in this book, before I come to that, I have given a reply to the book. In a booklet of mine, is the Bible God's Word? And this booklet was supposed to have been given out to each and every one of you. In case you haven't got it, I take it on your way out, we'll be given one. If you don't get it from the Islamic Propagation Center in Birmingham. It's absolutely free. This gives you an idea of what the Bible is, what the Torah is, what the Bible is, what the Injil is. So generally the Muslims don't know who we say, we believe in the Torah, we believe in the Bible, we believe in the Injil. What these words signify, the Muslim does not really know. So if you want to know, here is the book that will give you all that in detail. But coming to the themselves, what they say about this holy book. Dr. Graham Spivey, he quotes on page 22 and 23, a certain Dr. Joseph Parker, who says, this is to prove that the Bible is the Word of God. He says, what a book is the Bible? This is typical American. What a fantastic, what a lovely bunch of people. They are a fantastic group of people. This is, what a book is the Bible? In a matter of variety of content. You know, variety is the spice of life. Things that are different. In a matter of variety of content. This is whole pages are taken up with obscure names. Names you never heard before in your life, and you are not likely to hear them in the future. Obscure names. And more is done with the genealogy than with the real judgment. Stories are half told. And the night falls before we can tell where victory lay. He's asking, where is there anything in the religious literature of man to correspond with this, to compare with this? And we have to admit, no. But does that prove that it is the book of God? That is the way we analyze. Phrase by phrase, whatever the man says, let us analyze the serious implication of his utterance. Like this, his tantalizing, his mesmerizing people the world. Beautiful pictures of world. Listen. He said, whole pages are taken up with obscure names. I don't know what we're talking about. So, what is the case? What about it? And we read out these obscure names. Names, which I think does not the full one that I've ever heard in my life before, and I'm not going to hear it again. Now, if you look for 100, listen. Eden. Anamim. Yahabim. Yatuhim. Tatrufim. Katmuhim. What did this Allah? Living out of Syria. And where is he going to go? From 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11. I want to know if there is single one in this vast audience have heard these names before. Please put up your hand. A single one of you have heard these names, Lubin, Anamun, Yahabin, Matuhin, Patrusin, Kastuhin. Amazing. This is from the Word of God. God Almighty took the purpose of heaven that is dictated to you, and nobody heard it. Yeah, and I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, if you can produce anybody with the birth certificate of the IPC up to the end of the month, with the name Yahudin, Ayanin, Yahudin, Yahudin, Patrupin, Katrupin, £100 each. Anybody with it from the Holy Bible, anybody, you produce a birth certificate.
Thank you.
my ancestry, the ancestry of the father, my father, the grandmother, the great grandfather, and on and on and on. This is what I'm doing. Here is what. The general location of Christ as given in the book of Matthew.
Not the words of God. Story, Dr.
and a knife fall. You put it in the very kitchen. You don't know if you don't know what's going on. How do you do?
And a knife fall.
You put it in the very kitchen.
You know how that happens? But it's out of the hole.
Yes. Yes. I'm giving you an example. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 52 and 53. It says, and the graves were opened. The graves were opened. After the alleged resurrection of Jesus, the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in the dead and buried were raised. And coming out of the grave, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many. People came out of the grave and they marched down the streets of Jerusalem. People in the coffin were left in or worn out, or irritated. They came out of the gates and walked the streets of Jerusalem. And what happened? Who stopped? How did people come out of the gates and walk the streets of Jerusalem? Surely people saw. And that's me! That would be the world news, you know that? If Peter would have come out of Birmingham, they are sitting in the world news, walking the streets of Birmingham in the napkin. It's the news! But out of the 23rd book of the New Testament, only Matthew reported. Nobody heard about it. Nobody saw it. Nobody heard about it. Once you come out of your grave, would you like to go back? What happened to them? Where did they go? Where did they transform? Where did they go? What happened? Nothing. Not at all. Surely, if you came out of your grave after your death, you'd like to go meet your life again, no? Second time? Second age? So, stories are untold, and the life of before you can tell me which you lay. Where is there anything in the religious literature of man to compare with this? Agree, there is it. Agree? Okay, that's only the rule of thought? No. Stories are half told. I'm reading to you now. From the book of Judges. The book in the Bible. After him, Judges chapter 3 verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines. One man. He killed 600 of the Palestinians. One man. With an ox bow. And he also delivered Israel. Now, this goat, I don't know how many of you know what is a goat. You see, the first time I read about this as a young man, I read it in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, where it says that Paul, while he was on his way to Damascus, he saw a vision of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him and said, Saul. Why persecutest thou me? Why are you harassing me? What are you persecuting me for? Why kickest thou thus against the pricks? And I was shocked. So what kind of thing is this? You need to simply be like this. So I went out on my search every youngster asking the priest, what is this? And the priest was helpless. So they can't explain to me what is Jesus talking about kicking against us. I won't repeat it. Now, in the Bible that Brother Shamash is presented to me as a royal under Paul, this beautiful Bible here, this is the fifth major revision. This Bible is the fifth major revision. Brother Shamash not will tell you, it's true. Fifth major revision. I didn't know. You see, I thought that King James Version or an English version, the authorized version, was the one of 1611. That it has been already through five major revisions, and they still call it King James. That's an anomaly. You see, in the time of King James, 1611, this Bible was brought together. Then they found that something not altogether right, so they made a major change. Major. You understand me? Major, minor. Minor is small, major is big. Not fiddly little things. You see, this is like a great, great, great grandfather. He made his last will and testament. And a great, great grandfather, he made a major change in the will. And your great-grandfather made another major change in the will. And your grandfather made another major change in the will. And your father made another major change in the will. And you made another major change in the will. And you're still insisting that this is the original last will and testament of your great-great-great-grandfather. Language. What is the language that they are using? Five major changes, revisions, and they still say it is the King James Version. So in this major revision, they change the word, the offensive word, to golden, golden. When I say American, what is the golden? When you go out, when you meet the Englishman, I said, what is the golden? And believe me, she wants to give a drink to you. What is the golden? So, Thank you very much, my dear brothers and sisters. You see, to make it easy for our brothers and sisters who never heard the word original word, they never heard the word gold, but this guy Shankar, he used an ox gold. So I brought it too. You see, this another word for this is a cattle collar. They call cattle meat. Ox gold, cattle collar. Spike stick is a little major. Spike stick for body. You know what this stick? This Jewish lad, Shankar, he killed 600 Palestinians with this. You know, you can't destroy 600 students with this. This is like 600. It's a miracle, yes. This is the miracle. It's a miracle. We have said that, you see, this is now is programming people. If one Jewish boy can kill 600 Palestinians, what were the Palestinians doing? Look, as if the fools, they couldn't run, they couldn't run for their life. What were they waiting? Where? And where did the fools strike them with this to kill 600? 1, 2, 3, 4. We have a little known about on the stage. He is a psychiatrist, a minister of psychology. He will be able to tell you, when you make people believe stories of this nature, what a certain Jewish boy did to your people, 600 of you with the stick, yet I tell you the mentality of heaven state. I'll demonstrate to you what really happened. Let's go to the end. Then they tell us, incredulous Philistines. It says here, another Jewish young man by the name of Samson. You know about Samson? Samson and Delilah. You know the story that Sisera's name is famous. Samson and Delilah, David and Bathsheba. You know the story. The first, this fellow Samson, I'm reading now from the book of Judges, chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. A donkey jawbone, palm, fresh, fresh. He reached out his hand and hit it. And killed 1,000 Palestinians with the jawbone of a donkey. His family, because you see, although it happened to be a Palestinian, he was alone. That this is now programming taking place. Look, beautiful. One Jewish boy with a jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 Palestinians. I want to know what the Palestinians are doing. You know, it's 1,000. Hey, 1,000 people you killed with the jawbone of a donkey, what is it? I said, look, if these 1,000 people get stabbed, then the guy will get suffocated. You can't even speak. You can't even run. Then you think it's a miracle. Well, the stick is a miracle, the jawbone of a donkey is a miracle. You know, we should go and tell these ideas. They're wasting their time with the American folks at once. You know, in Beirut, they start to eliminate the Palestinians for good, the final solution. The final solution is American cluster bombs in the face. I said, look, man, go and tell them, find the double of the donkey. And find this magic fish, this magic fish. You will see it all. And Samson, after killing the 1,000 Palestinians, he sings a song. So the jawbone of a donkey, he is a donkey, with the jawbone of a donkey, I sing a 1,000 men, hooray, so hooray. Then, this book of Paul, he is in the book of Judges, remember the book, chapter 15, verse 75. It tells us that the same Samson, the magical power, he went and caught 300 foxes. You know fox? You know the fox? Lonely, lonely. You know to catch a chicken? To catch a chicken in the water, catch one chicken, catch one sheep, catch one goat. You know how big it is? You haven't tried. You get them in pain, you have them ready. Yes, that's how we call them. They're the best ones. And you go and get them. You try and catch a live chicken, live sheep, live goat. This Samson, Jewish young man, he caught 300 foxes. Foxes. In Palestine, where did he find them? 300 foxes, the world has 300 foxes. And he caught them and he tied them face to face. Foxes at a time, foxes. It doesn't say male or female. Foo-foo, foo-foo, foo-foo. He made 150 pairs. 150 pairs of male and female. Shh, shh, shh. And they cooperated. The foxes cooperated. Do you imagine? Same dog, and foo-foo, this is a tiny dog. You try and try to tie the same to foo and see what happens to you. Samson, you see, he has magic power. He cut them, and he tied them tail to tail, and he put fire between the tails, and they cooperated. And he told them, go, for the sins of the Palestinians and their men. And they destroyed the king, the thousands of the Palestinians. I said, you believe that? You believe that? He said, yes. Today, another Jewish lad, Sylvester Stallone, he's from the Rambo, Rambo 3. He is Shamgar and Samson in one. Shamgar and Samson in one. Rambo 3. This fellow, single-handed, almost, he killed 1, 2, 3 Russians. That is bigger deal. If you count on the phone, if you have the time, stop it every time you kill them and count it. 120 days and they vanquished the whole Russian army and the Russian army was going into the Pakistan. Samson and Shamgar in one. Rambo 3. You can do the same. Anything. You can do anything else. But Peter Jesus failed to produce the 3,000 boxers who would cooperate with him to put fire between the tails and go for the sins of the Palestinians. He failed. Because this is something, this is no magic but the camera can ever achieve that. Rambo did it, Samson and Shamgar did it. You see, there is a kink, a twist in the human self. training, if you pray, there is a gift. Everyone. But the most preposterous proposition,
unbelievable, kind of practical, unimaginable,
the most preposterous proposition, the more readily, with the superstition of the credulous, believe.
God exaggerates, man.
There is no limit to your exaggeration, and there will be people wanting to believe it. Then what the case is there? It can happen because of the book. The end of the book, what it does, you will come to that. You see, the Christians, they say, and I will deal with it right at the time, they say the Quran is forged. It is copied from the Jews and the Christians. Dr. Faroz, in the last debate, he said,
let me challenge you. 75% of the wonderful Quran in my wonderful language of Arabic is from the Bible. And I would urge you to look into the Bible and find out where these sources are.
Let me challenge you. I'm copying. He said, let me challenge you. I don't know if you are challenging me or not, or all of us. He said, let me challenge you. 75% of the wonderful Quran in my wonderful language of Arabic. Where do you want to tell me? You can get the taste of the words outside. In case you doubt my words, of that wonderful Quran in my wonderful language of Arabic. From the Bible. If I had the time, I would deal with that in detail. It is from the Bible, it is copied from the Bible, it is plagiarized from the Bible, it is filled from the Bible. So the Quran answers that. Look, God Almighty, He doesn't need my help. He answers it. He says, أَمْ يَقُولُنَا اسْتَرَاهُ or who do you say He says it? Who do you know says it? Full! Error! Come on, produce a surah like it. Well, the woman is the last thing and tell your case to your aid. Anyone besides Allah, it is going to be Father King. In other words, the challenge is there, produce something like it. Muhammad did it? He copied it? Come on, man, you with your learning. You see, the Westerner had a good excuse. Swagat had a good excuse. You know, a good excuse. Did he get a good excuse?
You know the Arabic.
Dr. Sharosh. It's going to be excuse. Thank you, my brother. Dr. Sharosh is excuse. He is a born Arab. He is not a Muslim in the world to Christianity. He is born Arab. And these people have been Christians before Islam. Just on that verdict. As he boasted in Birmingham at one of my meetings, he said, there are 10 million Arab Christians. 10 million. We don't know now. 14 million. 14 million Arab Christians. I don't know if they are divided. If it's 10 million and 8, it's gone to 14, it's quite all right. These are Arab Christians. Arabic is their mother tongue. Not the mother tongue, the mothers have the tongue in their mouth. Look, it is mother tongue. It's come naturally to him. And the challenge is there for 1400 years to produce a chapter like it. Brothers and sisters, we'll be anxious to get our wisdom to use them so that chapter will be produced. Inshallah. 1400 years, they are saying, Dr. Sharon has managed it and we are looking forward with eagerness to his production. Copy. I am asking, what is the copy? What have you got that is going to be in? There are, according to one of the mightiest evangelists in America, he said, he writes to the mother, your own brother, your own sister, your own father-in-law, that is incest. There are 10 cases of incest in this book of law. 10. The types and types of incest that you can find. A textbook, if you want to know what that is, and as a result, in my country, the life of South Africa, most of them are Christians. 8% of all whites in South Africa, they commit incest with their own daughters, and 13% of the Americans are committing incest with their own daughters. I didn't get his name, but he's a psychiatrist. He'll be able to confirm that. Dr. Simon Jones, a psychologist of great repute. He carried out experiments on groups of school children to whom certain stories were being read. And he said that these stories were able to describe the permanent change of character. The type of story that you read will make the type of mentality that you have. If you read junkie stuff, your mind will become junkie. You eat junky food, you will be able to become junkie. Amazing. Out of the 10 pages of incest, Muhammad 3.301. Let me read. Rape. Not only rape. How to rape your own sister if you want to? It's given to you in the day. If you want to rape your own sister. One of the sons of David, he said to an example, what have you must do if you want to rape your own sister? Jennifer is dead. Son goes over to kill up his father's wife, 10 in a row. And then this is in the Bible. A Christian lady here in the UK, she wrote a letter, he says, bang in the book. Bang in the Bible. What is her? Bang it. But of course, it's a nation. And that's the name of the book. Jesus, prophecy, and the Middle East, on page 35, he gives a list of things that is quoting Little America by Billy Carroll, and he gives us a list of the crime rate, the way it has increased in America. This is from his book. The type of things that you read, this is what you read, and the result. Book of Judges. Chapter 16, verse 1. I'm reading. Diligent listener, pay attention. Then, Samson, going to Gaza. You know Gaza? There is something in the world that are fighting for the freedom. You got a mirror? There is a little tree, that is more power. 200 from 60 have already died. Palestinian children. So Samson goes to Gaza, the same Gaza. And he saw a harlot, a whore, a prostitute. And he went in and saw her. What does it teach you? Samson goes to Gaza, and he sees a harlot, a whore, a prostitute, and he goes in and saw her. Nothing more. There's not a single redeeming word of praise. That this guy, for what he did, or maybe this was a Palestinian boy, or a prostitute. So it means nothing. So the Palestinian, maybe she was an inquiry boy, it might have meant something. She was not an inquiry. So God didn't give him aid, he didn't give him beauty, he didn't give him gloria, nothing. He went to Gaza and he went to the hall. Modern Bible they say he rested the night with her. But he was wrong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What did he say? Standing in the night with a prostitute the whole night, what did he do? Hallelujah. Look, what is the moral? You see, Ian Fleming, he wrote this, that was James Bond. That was the first thing. And so, the generality is that this is the little woman he wanted to be with. Wherever he goes, he's like eating peanuts. Wherever he sees a woman, I'm asking Ian Fleming, ask him, where did he get the idea from? Here, look at this guy. This guy goes to Gaza, he's to the prostitute. Hold there. God Almighty. Almighty as a father. You know, father, people coming here. He said to the book of Isaiah, book of Isaiah, the prince of the prophet. You know, the sixth gospel. Isaiah, the sixth gospel. In the same day, the Lord will shake with a higher razor. The Lord will fall, will shake with a higher razor. Higher razor, the cutthroat, we call them cutthroats. With those who will be on the river, with the king of Assyria, the hair and the hair of the leg. You will see the hair and the hair of the leg. It doesn't matter how high. You tell that to your father today, you know, to see. He said, don't you know what in man, or this, or what the world of the people? Who do you mean man that you do that every day? God Almighty, he takes this and he's going to share people with legs, hair on the leg. What are you trying to do to God, Yahweh? What are you doing? What a mockery you are making of God! This is a
God Almighty, but also has some flesh.
إبراهيم سلام في المنزل يكلمه إذا هو قال ضغط المسكن لذلك هو على المسكن ضغط المسكن لذلك الأسل لذلك من الأسل كله ومن ضغط المسكن and they do what is known that not known as sexually. Now, if you believe
that they have
read the Bible, you will read it, in verse 9, it is a fact. It is a fact. What happened? Who can change it? Red to black. So the red thing I can know from the confusing number is who? Who's the who? So the confusing number is going to be wrong. As a general of law, if you identify like that, you say, well, one of these is one, another of these is a nine, you can decide for the third thing. They will not look, you know that? So now Jesus is going to be in the box. Either Jesus is going to be in the box.
Thank you.
second half, and maybe they act.
Center for all that they have done to make this meeting possible, and in particular to Mr. Shamshad Khan for all that he has done and the effort and the energy that he personally has expended to bring this meeting to pass. Now let me emphasize that I make no claim to be a specialist in Islamic studies or to be an Islamic scholar. I would like also to emphasize my feeling of good fortune today. I have visited the Republic of South Africa on many occasions. And each time that I visit there, I stay with a Muslim friend and his family in Johannesburg. And 2 years ago, he introduced me to the works and to the studies of Mr. Didat. And therefore, it is a special honor for me today, sir, to occupy the same platform as you, a scholar and a gentleman. And now, to the task at hand. Dr. Anis Shorosh is an Arab whose roots go back to Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus Christ. His tribal origins are the Rihanis of Saudi Arabia. Dr. Shorosh earned a Bachelor of Arts degree from Mississippi College, a Master of Divinity degree from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, a Doctor of Ministry from Luther Rice Seminary in Florida, and 3 weeks ago, he was awarded a Doctor of Philosophy degree from Oxford Graduate School, where I first met him and where I had the honor to be one of his professors. He served as a pastor in Jerusalem until 1966, then felt God's call to international evangelism and subsequently moved to the United States. 7 books, 5 film documentaries have been produced by Mr. Shorosh thus far. 25,000 copies of his book, Islam Revealed, his 8th book, will be released within a few weeks by Thomas Nelson Publishers. Please let us now welcome to the 2nd largest city in the United Kingdom, and to this historic occasion, the dynamic servant of Christ, my personal friend, and one of our guest speakers today, Mr. Dr. Anis Shorosh Rihani.
Be considered dishonesty. The reply was, no, upset and feel badly, since they are convinced they are the most advanced society in the whole world. May I ask you, what is your reaction to such a situation? How long can you keep the bright sunshine from the eyes of the beholder? Either must drive home himself forever, or go into a cave and live there, denying there is anything but darkness in this world. No, no, no. The time has come. There is the blind force of me and mine. God commanded on the first day of creation, let there be light, and there was light. Therefore, to answer the very serious question, the Quran or the Bible, which is God's word, I will reply emphatically with a yes and a no. Yes, the Quran is, and no, the Quran is not God's word. Bear in mind, please, I am not a seeker, seeking facts, not fiction, researching for truth, not lying, and attempting to find the right path, not the wrong one. My dissertation for the doctor of philosophy only 3 weeks ago is entitled Understanding Islam. I want to understand and know more about the Quran, the Prophet of Arabia and Islam, the religion of most of my Arab people. I say most because as of last year, Swinner Institute gave me statistics indicating there are 174 million Arabs, 14 million of them claim the Christian faith. I have tried to be objective in my research, careful, earnest, and many times spending time in fasting and prayer, believe me. Now I present you with my findings. It is my hope you have come with open, not closed mind, with genuine desire to seek truth, not surface interest. Some of my findings will not be very pleasing to you. They were not to me either. It is very possible that your traditional faith will be shaken in your mind and your intellect challenged. What I am about to present to you, I present as truth in love, nothing. The material is offered to instruct you, not to insult you. We want to analyze, prove, examine, and investigate our topic thoroughly. Yet, if you fear becoming irrational, as some of you have been jumping up and down, rather than stay rational, my advice to you, please, stand up and leave us now. However, before you make such a decision, let me remind you that you will have 1 solid hour of participation during the question and answer period. Take notes, write your questions, and we'll try to answer them. We are holding a boxing match. Here, no circus. You can go to the cinema or theater if you want to be entertained, rather than disrupt the scholarly and historic discussion. Mr. Dandan, I invite you, please, vacate the premises and leave us alone in peace. The Sunday Express has a note which I saw from the room of my hotel on the billboard. It says, when everything fails, men use their brains. Your story is a piece of man. Even the name of my first son is called Salam, which makes me Abu Salam in Arabic. Back to our Chinese story. Since 1936, China has opened its doors to the outside world, and the Chinese are convinced now that there are other nations who are socially, scientifically, and technologically more advanced than they. To use their own popular saying, China has finally stood up. In other words, China is seeking to catch up with the rest of the advanced world. Even the Soviet Union are now excited about glasnost, openness, and perestroika restructuring after decades of suppression, thanks to Mr. Gorbachev. Stalin is now recognized for what he was, the murder of 20 million of his own people. Now, the Muslim world has been convinced for centuries that their religion is the best and the Quran is the last testament. If this is true, not fiction, authentic And they did that. To my knowledge, has never been denied inspiration of any Christianized or industrial country in the world. Why have they gifted from another world and out their borders, mightier than the world of China and the Korean War? Why is a human being denied citizenship in Saudi Arabia if he is not a Muslim? We know that an inheritance comes to second, but few seem to recognize the Muslim church. Why do women and children fare so poorly in most, thank God, not all Muslim countries? Discrimination and prejudice are constantly the target of the preaching of Islamic chiefs and rulers, but not practice. If those disappear, those voices, then the only fear one should experience is fear itself. If Muslims actually feel something about these matters, I would like to suggest they look into the truth that we are about to share with you. Anyway, I agree. I had a dream. A dream when the closed nations of the world will open their doors to the fresh wind of freedom of religion. Yes, freedom as Christ Jesus proclaimed, if the sun makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8:36. I have a dream. A dream with men and women, boys and girls, of all tongues and tribes, races and places, can make the choice, accepting or rejecting the revelation of God in Christ Jesus, and not be struck from the earth to the death with Islam, Christianity, or any other religion. I mean, if they accept Christ, please note, I did not say Christianity or a Christian religion. They can learn from God above all else, and through His Holy Spirit, they can love and forgive one another and live in peace. Across the centuries of human history, we have had many revolutions, religious, political, military, industrial, technological, and now the best is yet to be. The best of them all, right now, the truth, the revolution. What a glorious day, the truth, the revolution. Let us now go to deep water. Here are some of the results of my research and analytical findings concerning the Quran and what I can emphatically declare. First, the Quran is not the Word of God. Later, why I think it is the Word of God. I will appreciate the kindness of you, those of you who are Muslims in our audience, in allowing me to quote your prophet, either by the title of the Prophet of Arabia or his personal name. After all, Muslims do not call Jesus our Lord Jesus Christ when we mention his name and you refer to him. Thank you. Now, Mr. Elias, would you care to tell us what does the word by itself, by the means? What is the origin of that word? In what language? When was it used? Besides the name of the family, remember? I also like to say that it will help to ask Mr. Elias to see if he can explain to you where did you come up with the word Isa in the Quran when his name is Yeshua in Arabic. I'd like to know about that. I would also like to ask Mr. Elias a question to tell his great audience about his incredible book, Al-Quran, the ultimate miracle. Precious friends, this gentleman has missed multitudes by his video, books and cassettes, and speeches on this 19 so-called theory, which is now his books. I wonder what else will come up from that direction. What scholarship, what brilliance, what fabulous research by computers. Muslims assert that Allah has revealed himself most clearly in the book, not in the person of Muhammad. In proper distinction, Christians believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became a human being, Jesus, the Word of God. And a reader of the Quran, who is slightly familiar with the Old Testament, discovers that the names and events of the where he lived during the time he said he received most of the revelations which became the Quran. His wife, Raihana, and ninth, Safiya, were Jewish. His first wife, Khadija, had a Christian background, and also her uncle, the eighth wife, Maryam, was part of a Christian sect from Egypt. They undoubtedly shared with him much of the Old Testament literature, drama, stories of prophets and people. The Quran sings out the following Old Testament names from among the 28 authentic prophets according to the Quran: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Ishmael. I'd like to know what did Jacob write and what did Ishmael write, sir? David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 30 to 31, echoes the whole thing. A fairy tale. I read to you just verse 30 and 31. But it states here, the mind imposed on both the killing of his brother, on him the killing of his brother. It's talking about Abel and Cain. Incidentally, the Quran doesn't know their names, they're never mentioned. Then it states that Allah sent the raven, scratching the ground, and by observing the story, the scene. Now, this brother said, his birth may have killed. Do you know that this Arabic theater, a story was written 200 years after the birth of Jesus, tells Adam and Eve, sitting by the first table, with not knowing what to do, for they had as yet to know any knowledge of burial. A raven coming up, took the dead body of its fellowmate, and having scratched up the earth, that it is dust before the house. That's the very exact word with the difference, it's Adam and Eve, instead of Cain and his brother. If Islam could trace its origin and prophet it to Abraham, then we would expect to find the Old Testament referring to Allah, Muhammad, Mecca, the black stone of the Kaaba, and the many ceremonies and practices of Islam. But the Bible is devoid of references to Muhammad, and there are no biblical references whatsoever to anything Islamic. It is much more reasonable to conclude that Islam grew from the polytheistic and animistic culture of Muhammad's tribe. In fact, the people of Mecca worshipped 360 idols, one of whom was named Al-Ilah, Muhammad's father. What was his name? If he wrote New Revelation, how come his father's name was, as often you know, Abdullah, the servant of Allah, God? From the second paragraph, dating back to the second century AD, we find the source of Surah Al-Namr. And it is very fictitious. I'm not going to read you the Quran, I'm going to read you what this is that you think is the Quran. So, give hope. I will send kings and armies against thee, for kin may be to the land and birds of the air, just as the red cock a bird enjoying itself could not be found. King Solomon said that they should and bring it to by force. And indeed he spoke to them. But just then, the cock appeared in the presence of the king and said, the bird is speaking, I have seen the whole world, and know the city and kingdom of Sheba, which is not subject to me, my lord king. They are ruled by women called the Queen of Sheba. The end of the story is fascinating, as the bird goes and carries the letter, and she comes back, and we shall write, she sees the palace, and the floor is a flat, she thinks it's water, she tries to uncover her legs, and the king screams, this is the Quran. Cover your legs, this is not water, this is not the sea, this is grass. What an exciting story to be written in the Quran. The New Testament is birthed so much of it that in reality there are so many sections of it that 130 passages in the Quran refer to the Bible as law, Psalms, and the Gospels. Also the apocryphal tales. Surah Al-Imran, the family of Imran, verse 35 to 37, closely follows this curious gospel account of evangelism. And it talks there about the famous story of Zechariah, his wife, and the birth of their girl. Christian history. It is fascinating to discover that Muhammad did not believe in the Trinity, the Father, Muhammad's birth. Muhammad apparently drew these denials from the head. Nestorius was the patriarch of Constantinople in AD 428. He did not believe the same truth as the Bible teaches, and therefore he was rejected. What did he do? He and his followers fled to different places, among them Persia and Arabia, where they made their acquaintance with the family of the Prophet. Most Christian scholars believe, and Muslim history attests, that Muhammad came in contact with Nestorius during his travels to Damascus. When he was 12 years of age, and Buhayra saw in him the possibility of a prophet. 12 years later, he convinced him of that, traveled with him, and told him much of what he knew about what we call the biblical story from the Christian viewpoint. Even if the ancient Arabs reportedly had seven celebrated temples dedicated to the seven planets. Among them was the Temple of Sana, which was built around Venus, and the one at Mecca, consecrated to Saturn. Stone worship prevailed at an early period among the Arabs, as among many other nations. Stones shaped like the famed Egyptian obelisks, and 70 carved. You can go with me to South Jordan and see it in the city of Petra to this very day. The ancient Manichaean Arabs worshipped these stone carved pillars. I want to ask you, if you've been to the Hajj, why do you kiss that stone in the Kaaba building? 1,000 angels have been appointed to guard the structure. Apparently, there were curses in their duties, because Abraham and his son Ishmael are said to have repented the first time, and others did the same later, after another flood. Some idols of the ancient Arabs are mentioned by name in the Quran. Allah, the chief idol of Taif, is supposed to be the goddess. Al-Uzza probably symbolized the planet Venus, although it was worshipped as the form of a taboo tree. Manat was a large sacrificial stone. So was a female deity. Yahus was in the form of a lion. Yahu in the shape of a horse, and Nasser at the shape of an eagle. In front of the Kaaba itself was the great image of Umar, the guardian deity of Mecca. The secret of Enoch and the testament of Abraham. The subject at hand is the famous Mawaj of Muhammad. It is recognized as the night in which he went to heaven by way of Jerusalem, riding an animal as long as I could see, whose face was the face of a woman with cosmetics on it. Aisha, surprisingly enough, declared emphatically, the body of the Prophet of Allah did not disappear, but Allah took away his spirit by night. Here is the message in Surah Bani Israel, which also has another name, Al-Israel. Here it is. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Glorified be he who carried his servant by night from the invulnerable place to worship to the far distant place of worship. The elaborate story of this vision is expounded in Mishkat al-Masabit, page 518 to 520. Muhammad told how the angel Gabriel took him on the winged animal of Allah and showed him all the seven levels of heaven in one night. The next morning, Muhammad announced that he had seen Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and others. His 12 followers said, what a wonderful thing. But the fact is, it is not so wonderful when you know the truth. You see, the fact is, we have this story written for you in the records called the Testament of Enoch, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, and chapter 2, verse 1, here they said words, on the first day of the month, I was in my house, and was resting on my couch, and slept, and when I was asleep, great distress came upon into my heart, and then appeared two men, they were standing at my couch, and called me by name, and I arose from my sleep. Have courage, Enoch. Do not fear, the eternal God sent us to thee. Thou shalt today ascend with us into heaven. The angels took him on the wings meet as a church in a formal course 2 centuries ago. In other words, no such place existed at the time of the so-called heavenly church, even the day of God, so appreciated by Muslims and others, was not built in AD 691. Serious, ancient historians like Ebenezer, the Mormon, tell that Syrians were the first religious people in the world. Their language was Syrian. Listen to this, they even considered Adam to have been a Syrian. Cedar was said to be the same Cedar, son of Cush, son of Ham, son of Noah, mentioned in Genesis 10, section 7. Their word, listen to this, was monotheistic, Islam for a man. They offered sacrifices and prayed 7 times a day. Muslim made it into 5. They say we are suspected that it is a year, and that's exactly what we do in Ramadan if we are Muslims. Breaking the fast at something, much like Muslims do today. Dr. Ahmed Sheikh, a friend of mine from Lucknow, India, who wrote a book on theology, Muslim and Christian, he says that some writers mistook them for followers of John the Baptist because they also, which I know this, baptized me and sent me to their group. He adds that along with God, they both were inspired and a hierarchy of angels. Contradictions in Islam. First, contradiction of science. I read to you, it says in Arabic, حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجد تغرب في عين الحمل. Listen to this. Till when he, the former example of the great, reached the setting of the sun, he found the sun setting in a modest place. All superstitious in the age of Muhammad believe that the sun will ever set in a modest place. Another absolute mystery to me is the mentioning of this Alexander the Great, known in Arabic as Dhul-Qarnayn, the one with the two horns, as a prophet in a book supposedly sent from God up in heaven. In Surah An-Nahl, verse 15, we see, وَأَلْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِي. I want you to understand, it says here that he has cast into the earth firm anchors, not hills, as your Quran translated into Arabic. Ask any Arab about that. Surah Al-Hijr, verse 74, states that the devils, mind you, were driven away by stones. Talks about that. فَجَعَلْنَا عَلِيهَا سَبِيلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ. To this day, one of the duties of a pilgrim, ask an Hajj, is to throw 7 stones at the devil in Mina. Tell me about that, friend. Contradiction of Muhammad's mission. The Quran was and is an Arabic book for the Arab people, not for the world. This is substantiated by the fact that for 1300 years, no one translated the Quran into another language. In contrast, the Bible for the world has been translated in over 1,800 languages. Surah Ibrahim, verse 4, states, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. But say, we have not sent any apostle except in the language of his people. Muhammad lived in a land where the days and nights are nearly equal to your own. During Ramadan, Muslims are the fast from when they can distinguish a white stripe from the black one. This can no longer be done in the evening. In that, to the far north, the sun does not set for many weeks, as I have seen it in Alaska during Ramadan, but seems only to make circles through the sky. Therefore, Ramadan cannot be observed there. If Muhammad had been truly a prophet of God, his knowledge of geography would have been perfect. Incidentally, many Christians observe that Muslims spend more money on their food during Ramadan than any time of the year except weddings. It is not a fasting, but a feasting month. Besides, what benefit is it to God Almighty for you to fast all day long and feast all night long? Contradiction of man's freedom. Muslims believe that whatever has or shall come to pass in this world, whether it be good or bad, proceeds entirely from the divine will and has been irrevocably fixed and recorded on a Muslim's heart or forehead. It is true that some passages of the Quran seem to attribute freedom to man, while others teach a clear and distinct fatalism. The followers of Muhammad have no knowledge of God as a loving, caring, compassionate Heavenly Father who has made us free more than we. From Surah At-Tawbah, we before it up, say that which Allah has decreed for us. Another verse from Quran 27. Say, Lord, Allah sendeth whom He will astray and guideth unto Himself all who turn unto Him. Women's inferiority in Islam, polygamy and unlimited divorce. We are told in Surah An-Nisa, verse 3, when this is, I hope, will not be misunderstood, but this is a verse in which it says, and if you can be said to marry as many as four, but if you cannot marry just one is bound to ask, if Muhammad brought a greater and more perfect revelation, then why does man seem to regret instead of progress with the moral standards of the Quran? Jesus Christ enunciated, who made them at the beginning, made them male and female. If God wanted man to have more life, He should have made more than one Eve. Certainly, a Muslim husband may cast his wife adrift, whereas a Muslim husband may cast his wife adrift without giving a single reason or even a notice. The husband possesses absolute, immediate, unquestioned power of divorce. He can simply announce to his wife, I divorced him 3 times and she's gone. No privilege of a corresponding nature is reserved for the wife. Be quiet, I ask you to be quiet.
Economic, because as a tribute, you didn't have to be a Muslim. Put yourself
in that position with these choices. What would you and your family choose? As a result, numerous Christians save their lives. Yet the numbers of those who took the easy way out vastly outnumbered the martyrs. History informs us that the 12 months following Muhammad's death were spent in bitter battle, led by Khalid ibn Walid to bring back the Arab tribes who became apostates. Over 1 million Armenians, Christians, were savagely slaughtered by the Turkish Muslims at the beginning of the 20th century. Since that time, an Armenian secret organization has assassinated the top Turkish leader or diplomat in some country at the anniversary of the massacre. In this world, this is the way of impressing on the minds of the world the horror of that atrocity and their insistence on revenge. Such not the fact, it is still going on in the present. Over 1 million people have been killed in the war between Iraq and Iran, which are two great Muslim countries. According to a 2018 report, this written remark, 1987, by Khartoum University, Professors Oshairi Mahmoud and Sulaiman Ali, also, more than 1,000 Zika citizens, including women and children, were massacred in the Western Sudan, south of Dian, in 1987. The Baptist Record newspaper story on November 5, 1987, adds that dozens of pastors have been killed and many churches destroyed since Islamic law was imposed in 83, when Sudan was officially declared as an Islamic Republic. Another report appeared in the Baptist World Alliance newsletter of September 87, page 2, indicating that 130 church buildings and pastors homes of all Christian denominations in the human state in Nigeria were destroyed by Muslim rioters. The Tawbah gave the following instructions for dealing with Jews and Christians. قَاسِمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Fight against such a group who have been given the scripture and believe not in Allah nor the last day. According to a tradition, Ibn Abbas and Aisha, the prophet, is said to have permitted the blood to be shed even of him who abandons his religion and separates himself from the community. This practice continues in some Muslim countries. However, the backslider is to be given an opportunity to repent in the Western world rather than have his blood shed. Consult Surah Ali Imran 83 to verse 19. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to ask you, have you noticed that one of the great things that our people say is that the Prophet Muhammad was illiterate? That's why the Quran is so great. Many experts of the life of Muhammad believe he was. However, such a claim is not feasible or terrible. The claim may be an attempt to magnify the work of Muhammad in producing the Quran, though he was an illiterate, thus substantiating the so-called miracle of the Quran. Here are my reasons for your listening pleasure. We are told that when the treaty with the Meccans was to be signed by Muhammad, they refused to acknowledge him as the Apostle of Allah. Relenting to their demands, he struck out that title and wrote with his hand, instead of Muhammad, Rasulullah, Muhammad, son of Abdullah. A second instance, supporting his literacy, occurred on Muhammad's death. Realizing that he was dying, he motioned to Aisha, his favorite wife, out of 15 of them, to bring him something upon which to write the name of the successor. But he was too weak to write. Third, he served for many years as a trading camel caravan merchant, who is naturally known the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, traveling to Damascus, a number of times. Fourth, was visiting the San Catherine's Monastery at Mount Sinai in 1979, I was shown by the monks a personal letter said to be signed by Muhammad himself, guaranteeing the freedom of the monks and their monastery. If this can be verified, it presents no proof for Muhammad's literacy. Finally, I wish to seal the truth and provide you an unequivocal, solid, sound, and overwhelming proof that Muhammad was literate. Here it is, from the famous frequently memorized Surah Al-Alaq. Muhammad read. Theoretically speaking, if one can read, then can he not hold the light? Why would Muhammad's God hold the state who taught by the men, by the text, Allama al-Insana al-Ladhi Allama al-Khalq? Do you realize that in the matter of hadith, which is the that, and in the seat of the Prophet, page 3-6, we are told, Aisha said that the angel Gabriel ordered Muhammad to read three consecutive times and he read. I cannot understand for the life of me why Muslims insist on quoting the most famous Arab leader, fascinating, ordinary leader of Arab world, and ignorant and illiterate. This is not proper, and I don't believe that, and nothing supports that. Now, I'd like to ask you something. No one who studies the Quran in any language will fail to notice that there are monumental problems in its context. Arabic-speaking Muslims have made, actually, the Arabic translation to be sounding like the holy word of God. Friends, let me show you something. Do you realize this is the type of Arabic the Quran was written in? I challenge you, not one person till you can read it. The top and the bottom is the same of us. You see, Arabic did not have power. You did not care whether it is Baraba, Zuriba, or Barab. Besides that, it is claimed by Arab scholars that the literary style of the Quran is superior to all other books in the Arabic language. Although this is not totally true, this claim more proves the inspiration of the Quran than a man's strength demonstrates his wisdom or a woman's beauty and virtue. Only by its teaching, principles, and conceptual content can it be judged rightly, not by its elegance, or yet its strength or attractive cover. By reading the life of Muhammad and the history of the Quran, it is easy to conclude that the Quran reflects the life and character of Muhammad and the 7th century culture of Arabia. The Quran is not the unique literary masterpiece. There are numerous examples of our beautifully crafted poems, epics, and scriptures from the classical period, many much older than the Quran. The Rigveda of the Aryan Civilian was composed in Sanskrit between 1000 to 1500 years BC. It is larger than the Quran, similar in nature, and was written by several men. A blind poet by the name of Homer is responsible for the two most eloquent poems, language, the Odyssey and Iliad. What should we say of the Gilgamesh epic, the Code of Hammurabi, the Book of the Dead of the ancient Egyptians, the tablets of Ibla, and other archaeological finds of ancient cultures? Just because these materials are unique or eloquent does not necessarily give them the status of divine inspiration. What about the fascinating writings of the prophets of Israel, which are poetic also and prose as well of the highest order? The Israelites, some of whose poems were among the famed Mu'allafat, the splendid poems at Arab, was one of the most eloquent of the ancient Arab poets before Muhammad. In one of these poems, which was not part of the Mu'allafat, four verses appear which were both and inserted by Muhammad into the Quran. They appear in Surah Al-Qamar, verse 1, 29, 31, and 46. I don't need to read in English, I just read in Arabic. You can hear it. In Surah Al-Qamar, one shaq al-Qamar. That's the Quran. Over it, like. Then it is that one shaq al-Qamar. Verse 29. إِنَّا أَسْتَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ صَيْحَةً وَحِدَةً فَكَانُوا كَهَشِيمَ الْمُحْضَرَةً Verse 46. وَإِذَا مَا غَابَ عَنِّي سَعَةً كَانَتِ السَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرْ And then, that is السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدْ وَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرْ These verses, you can look at them if you get the book and find out the truth of them. The very same thing. She immediately recognized her father's poem and demanded to know how her father's birthday multiply it one bit more, 180. And now, to meet the challenge of the Quran in Surah 1790 and 1079 as listed in that text, I'd like to remind you that first before Muhammad and after him, did just that. Furthermore, its whole group of scholars in Jerusalem later to achieve the fulfillment of its 16-year-old project. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ حَقًّا فَآمِنُوا بِهِ وَلَا تَخَافُوا إِنَّ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَّاتٍ نُزُلًا فَلَيَسْبِقَنَّكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُعِدَّةَ لَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّكُمْ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْرِفُونَ السَّبِيلَ إِلَى سِدْرَةِ الْعُلْيَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ ثُمَّ الْحَوَارِيُّ مَوْلَانَا إِنَّا لَنَمْلِكُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ عِلْمًا فقال له عيسى انا هو الصراط الى الله حقا ومن دوني لا تستطيعون اليه سبيلا ومن عرفني فكانما عرف الله ولئنكم كنتم الان تعرفونه وتبصرونه يقينا فقال له اصفيني بالحواري مولانا ارنا الله جهره تبصينا فقال عيسى اولم تؤمنوا بعد وقد حققت معكم الكفر فمن رآني فكانما راى الله الكفر ويوه الى الارض. This is precisely taken from chapter 14, verse 20 of the Gospel of John. Moreover, anyone who is expressed in beautiful Arabic, various religious language, another thing. Man arafa nafsahu, arafa rabbahu. Who knows himself, knows his Lord. Another example of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Innama dunya salatun. ليس للدنيا تفوت وانما الدنيا كبيت تتلف عن تفوت. Very, this world is transitional. In the world there is no permanence. And very, this world is a house with a spider has spun. كيفية المرء ليس المرء يدركها فكيف كيفية الجبار في الكلام هو الذي انشا الاشياء مبتدعا فكيف يدركه مستهدف النسب. Man comprehends not the character of man. How much then does the character of the omnipotent take the preeminence? He it is who produced all things as an impressor. How then does one who knew his breath comprehend him? There is no denying that the complexity of the Quranic scripture and Arabic must be explained by an expert of the Arabic language and culture before one can understand the contents. However, the same is true in Arabic poetry. While in secondary school in Nazareth, I studied and memorized some of the Mu'allaqa poems. To my utter astonishment, some time ago I found in my library, while preparing for this debate, my old and written notebook with poems and their prompts. Imagine looking at the book that you wrote in class 40 years ago. Now we come to the exaggerations of the Quran, which are very obvious to anyone who studies it. Solomon's story distorted and exaggerated. The Bible says that Solomon employed the people of Tyre, who were skilled workmen, to assist him in building the temple. The Quran says in Surah Al-Anbiya, that 81-82, that the devils and the jinns actually did that for him. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the Quran says, Hussein and his donkey died for 100 years and were then raised to life. We may accept the raising of a man, but when what possible use is there to raise up a donkey after he's been dead 100 years? The Bible says that God gave the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. It never was recovering over the children of Israel, as the Quran states in Surah Al-A'raf 171, God turned humans into monkeys. So that the Quran says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 60. Don't you know that? Let me read it to you. Are you ready? Alright. Shall I tell thee of a worse case than things for retribution with Allah? Worse is the case of him whom Allah has cursed, him on whom his wrath has fallen. Worse is he of whose soul Allah has turned some to hate. swine. It sounds like Muhammad may have believed in reincarnation. Did the Quran bring any new revelation? Revelation is the process by which God implants truth which cannot be known naturally. For example, since man was not created until the sixth day, God had to reveal to Moses details reflected in Genesis 1 through 5. The uniqueness of the law of the Quran is also claimed due to the information it presents regarding the past and the future. However, these claims cannot be substantiated. The teaching of the Quran concerning God, creation, prophet, and what have you, were proclaimed long time before Muhammad came. Muhammad was nothing new. Perhaps some of this was new to his hearers who were ignorant. Many men of Christian religion do not read or write. Muhammad's revelations were in no way superior to the revelations given by earlier prophets, and neither did they unquestionably provide evidence of a fresh divine revelation. Theologically, authorities demand that six conditions be fulfilled before accepting any proposed revelation can be accepted as true revelation. First, it must satisfy the yearning of the human spirit to obtain eternal happiness. Second, it must coincide with the conscience, which is the moral law written in man's mind. Third, it must reveal God's true attributes. Fourth, it must confirm man's reasoning that God is one. Five, it must make very clear the way of salvation. Six, it must reveal God himself in books, through prophets, and in person. Neither Muhammad nor the Quran fulfilled all these six requirements. The Quran may fulfill the fourth partially, and perhaps the sixth. That's about, oh, really? Now, Muslims believe that certain passages of the Quran are mansukh or annulled by persons revealed later chronologically than themselves, which are called men. Ladies and gentlemen, I appeal to your intelligence, please. This is told by Muhammad in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 106. مَا نَلْتَتْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نَلْتِهَا أَوْ نَلْتِهَا Thank you. Jewish population. Now he emphasized to his followers, they must turn to Jerusalem. So that would be enough. 17 months later, Allah changed his mind for the second time by commanding Muhammad to look towards Mecca again. And no longer Jerusalem, the Muslims pray. A man makes mistakes, ladies and gentlemen, and needs to correct them. Allah has one set of mistakes. God has infinite wisdom, and there are many things. We must ask, does God have two demands? If the system of relation is valid, we ask again, what does one do with this emphatic declaration in Surah Al-An'am 24? When I'm a petulant, and there is no changing or altering to the declaration or the decisions of Allah. Muslims claim that the Quran was personally written on tablets preserved in heaven. This concept, however, is clearly borrowed from the Bible. Because Exodus 32:16 tells us, now the tablets were the words of God, and the writing was the writing of God in engraving from the tablets. Muhammad professed to have a revelation through Gabriel, when he did his work. Many students believe that even the Bible of Muhammad, messages came from heaven, were given to justify his political and moral conduct, as well as much of his religious freedoms. That was what they wrote, the execution restricted, wide padded, and territory annexed under the pretext of the Almighty's command. Now, I want to challenge you. Mistakes in the Arabic of the Quran. You see, speaker, let's find out. Muslims believe that the Arabic Quran is the perfect, exact representation of Allah. That is why only the Arabic Quran is considered authoritative, and why so many Muslims who know no Arabic still feel a compulsion to memorize verses of the Quran in Arabic, although they cannot speak it and communicate with it. However, Muhammad for a foreign word, all phrases in the Quran, leaving questioners wondering if God's language is sufficient enough to need help for other languages. And all of their demonstrates is speaking in Arabic, by the following expressions from other languages. How then do we have the opposite in the book, which God himself is supposed to have inspired in Arabic? What in words? Quran comes from the Egyptian language. Adam from the Akkadian language. Basharan should have been the word for insan, which are Arabic words. Ibrahim comes from the Assyrian. The more accurate word will be Abu Ibrahim. From Persian, we have Aru, Maru, Sirah, Hur, Jin, Firdaus. From Syria, Tabu, Tabu, Malaku, Zakat. From Hebrew, Habir, Sakina, Jahannam, Ma'un. From Greek, Injil, which means Bishara, good news. That is the law. Here is the Arabic Quran, with words from Egyptian, Akkadian, Assyrian, Persian, Syriac, Hebrew, Greek, seven languages. And Arabic speaker is astounded also at the obvious mistake in the following verse. First, Surah Al-Baqarah 177. The word Qadirin should have been Qadirun, in the Arabic. Then again, Surah Al-A'raf 160, وَقَطَعْنَاهُ إِلَّتَيْ عَشَرَةَ أَصْبَاطًا should have been إِلَّتَيْ عَشَرَةَ أَصْبَاطًا. Surah Al-Nisa' 162, وَالْمُقِيمِنَ الصَّلَاةَ should have been وَالْمُقِيمُنَ الصَّلَاةَ. Then Surah Al-Ma'idah 169, الصَّابِئِين is the more correct Arabic than الصَّابِئُون. Then at Tawbah, فَإِذَا انْسَلَقَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحَرَامُ should have been فَإِذَا انْسَلَقَ. No, the words compared to are in gross Arabic Arabic. The grammatical structure demands look but can. Let there be and there was, not there shall be as in the Quran. Yes, sir. Going forward, Abraham's father is wrongly spelled Isaac in the Quran. At Surah Al-An'am, verse 74. The Bible, however, which is much earlier than the Quran, names him correctly, Farah. that area. Even the Canaan, as God instructed him in Genesis, not to like Israel. There is no record that Abraham and Ishmael went to Arabia and built the Kaaba in Mecca, although he did spend several years in Egypt. In Surah Al-Saffat, those who said that, verse 101, we did Abraham sacrifice of his son, but to the son, the Bible says it was Isaac. That is, yet the Quran intimates it was Ishmael. The Arabs have considered Abraham as the Arabian father through Hagar, Abraham's second wife, and Ishmael his firstborn son. As for listening that question, my request to this son, Fatan, who is the father of most of the people of the Arabia. However, historically, the first son of the Arabs is this one, mentioned in Genesis 10:25, is named Fatan in Arabic. The names of some of his sons are reflected in geographical locations in Arabia, such as Sheba, Hadamut, Ophir, Avila, until this day. A birth place came from Abraham's nephew, whose two daughters gave birth to the Nabeen, to the Moabite, and Ammonite. A birth place came from Jacob's twin brother, Esau, according to Genesis 36. Finally, and most people forget this phrase, but who? When Abraham married after Sarah's death, gave birth to six more sons, who also became forefathers of more Arab tribes. Therefore, Abraham was only one out of five of the forefathers of our people. The damage struggle that's going on between the children of Israel and the descendants of Isaac has caused many to wonder. Instead of the blessing of Abraham, it seems to be bloodshed. We read in Galatians 3:16 that it is neither Isaac nor Ishmael who are to bless the world, but Messiah Jesus. As Galatians 3:16 affirms, now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he does not say, and to the seed, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who will be fight. Ishmael's will, which he promised is made to him, listen to this fantastic truth. And Abraham said to God, Genesis 17:18, all that Ishmael might live before you, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. God promises to Ishmael, one is mystified, as a precise person of the four promises made to the earth by God, to Ishmael, even in our very day. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, the old I have blessed him, will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly, he shall be kept for his day, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, I will establish with him. Third, with three-fourths of the free world all reserved, the Arabs believe they are definitely blessed. Second, there are 174 million Arabs, as of 1987. As I said earlier, 14 million of them claim Christianity, according to the Zionist Institute. Third, he shall be kept for his day. We are practically twice that in the Arab nations today. Fourth, I will make him a great nation. What will it be? When the Muslim Empire became a reality from the 7th to the 12th century. Moses, listen to this. The Quran says, baby Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's wife. The Holy Bible says, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. The Quran calls Haman a friend of Pharaoh. The Bible places Haman 1,000 years later in the book of Esther. There, the Quran appears to Moses in the fire in the valley of Pua. The Bible says it was a Mount Hor, Exodus 3:1. So, the Quran says the Lord is had worshipped by the Israelites in the wilderness, was murdered by its American. The Bible says, Aaron is the golden cat, Exodus 32, from the world. In fact, the first American was not used until 722 BC. Why? The Quran says the cow sacrificed by Moses was yellow. The Bible says it was red. The number of mandatory months was 2. These are just a few of the contradictions between the Quran and the Old Testament. Now, here is another one of the most erroneous errors in the Quran. It's a reference to me.
Thank you.
as an intelligent giant, we awake and know to which man must pray without any chance of a divine love, such as Calvary. God is like a general marching with a sword to subdue the world and force men to become his slaves rather than his sons. A Muslim is told to declare the Kalima or a Shahada, pray 5 times a day, and 1 month a year, give alms, go to Mecca. These will open the gates of paradise for him. And let us tell you, as one leader in there, as he is, every enemy takes for Allah is a declaration for each day. That is the highest honor for a Muslim. I question the credibility of such a statement. Sooner or later, one will get mad at such a lie or get too old for it. Even if we agree that keeping the 5 pillars of Islam is good and honorable, how or who is going to pay for those things? For example, here is a man who owes you 100,000 for this man. He struggles to pay you back. But all he can pay is 10,000. Then who is going to pay the rest? Again, it is great to see that the policeman stops her. She smilingly tells him, I'm sorry, I didn't know the speed limit, and on and on. He will accept that he sympathized with her, but she broke the rule. Again, this man robbed, raped, and murdered his daughter. He is captured, imprisoned, broke the fire. He weeps and pleads, I made a mistake, I have done wrong. Forgive me, I repent. Will you let him go free? God told him out of faith, the soul who sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. Therefore, we ask, who will pay for our sins? You say, why our sins? Because God tells us, all that sins. How? By being born from Adam and Eve, the first sinners, by choice, by inclination, by thought, by sight, by deed. Have you ever told a lie? Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever told a lie? If you have, raise your hand, please. If you don't, you will fall into heaven. That's the only perfect people in the world. Now, in truth, the debt has to be covered. The traitor of the law has to be penalized. The criminal has to be condemned to death. Justice and magistrate begin. Convert the justice and holiness of God demand payment for our sins. The law deserves a like to hear that in the heart of God Almighty. Now, yes, the Muslim must be resolved, my friend. If not, then mankind opposed to Islam is accepting the teaching of man's glory through good work rather than obeying the will of God Almighty by accepting his atonement if we give it to him. How we deal with the radical evil of the heart? Where can you find justification, holiness, salvation, assurance of eternal life? Man needs not to know what is right and wrong or is correct. It is for the power of the Holy Spirit that can make that reality.
He had 75 years. He didn't show what he was about.
I do not think it deserves clapping because none of you is so intelligent to know all the answers, because you would be God.
Prophet Sharif said, Muhammad was not an Ummi, he was a different man. And we write again about the history of Islam that at Hudaybiyah, Muhammad came to the world. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah is the Muhammad Rasulullah. What the Holy Prophet Muhammad did was, he is instructing the tribe when the Quraysh, the pagans, the Mushrik, when they objected to Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah told the tribe, cut off Muhammad Rasulullah. So the disciple in love and feeling, they said, no, we can't cut it off with our own hands. We can't cut it off. We can't say that Muhammad is not Rasulullah. So, now what to do? The treaty was being jeopardized. So the Holy Prophet is asking, where are these words, Muhammad Rasulullah? So we follow Rasulullah and we took the thing and we knocked it off. That is what he did. Now did you put Muhammad is not Allah? What we need for things like this, discussions like this, we need more time. Mind point by point discussion. In 75 minutes, you throw 107 and say, come on, catch. It's good. It's not done.